If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, the last two Sundays we've talked about the wiles of the devil. Now we're going to get to the rest of what it said in this verse, in verse 11, and we need to, in verses 10 and 11, and we need to move on, not just knowing about the wiles of the devil, but then what are we going to do with that information? So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read verses 10 through 20 once again. And I'll have you join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself. Beginning in verse 10 altogether in Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So today I want to draw your attention to what's being said here as Paul is addressing this dear church in Ephesus. He says, "Finally." In other words, I'm closing the letter here. You've heard five chapters of admonishment and encouragement and knowledge and understanding. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." That. And that's simply what we're talking about today, is that ye may be able to stand. We've talked about the wiles of the devil. We've talked about the difficulties, the snares and traps that are out there. He says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I just simply want to encourage you and draw attention to the things that are necessary to be able to stand. You understand being able to do something. What does that mean? That you can do it, right? That it's possible that ye may be able to stand. Folks, that also brings with it the fact that we may not be able to stand. So why does he say that ye may be able to stand? What is the purpose of that? It's giving us an opportunity to be able to stand. He says, "I want you to be able to stand. I desire that you be able to stand. I want this that to come to pass, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Folks, God wants us to succeed. Amen. He does. He wants us to win. He wants us to be successful in the Christian life and in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us to suffer loss. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to be defeated. He doesn't want us to be overcome. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to abound. He wants us to be vibrant, to be lively. He wants the best for us as believers in Christ. So he says, finally, my brethren. And then he says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we have in here, and I kind of alluded to this either last week or the week before, there's kind of a ready-made outline here for a preacher. 3 points. All I got to do is add the poem, right? I mean, that's all that's left to do. Any of you that have ever taken a homiletics class can laugh at that joke, okay? Which is probably not very many of you. You know, 3 points in a poem, you know, introduction, conclusion, all that stuff. So, but it's already ready-made here. I really didn't have to go very far to find this particular outline. Look at what he says here today, and we're going to talk about being able to stand. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, finally, my brethren, the first one ought to be simple, right? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. How many of you have ever tried to be strong in yourself? In the flesh? Yeah, right? We've all been there. And as a kid, what is one of the kids' favorite words? I can do it myself, right? Yeah. You try to feed them, you know. And I know a little bit about this. I've had a little bit of experience. You know, it gets to a point where, you know, you have the little baby there and you start to feed it. What is the one thing that they're always trying to do? I'm trying to grab the spoon. even Flora, you know, she's only like 9 months old and we're starting to feed her some rice cereal. You know, I don't know why they ever thought that was something a baby would like. It's just nothing. It's just like flavorless mush. I don't get it. But they eat the stuff. I don't know. I don't know whoever decided that. But, you know, you get a spoon and you try to put it in their mouth and their little hands, you got to kind of tie them down because they're just like trying to swipe at that thing and they're trying to grab it because what do they want to do? Yeah, they want to shove that thing in there. You know, when babies get to be at a certain age, I mean, everything goes in the mouth. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Fuzzies, dead bugs on the floor, you know, what? Everything goes in the mouth. It doesn't matter what it is. People's feet, you know, all kinds of stuff. You gotta be careful when you're sitting on the couch, you know, they grab your toe and stick it in their mouth. That's never happened to you? I'm like, no, that's dirty. Don't suck on that. But I remember my grandfather, always was in the, you know, fields and shops and mechanic work and stuff. And so I think at a certain age, his fingers were just normally grease embedded, you know. And I remember when Anna was first little, you know, when she was first born, he was holding her at my parents' house, and she's just chewing away on his thumb. I mean, who knows how many decades of grease and stuff she was, you know, taking out of there. Anna doesn't remember that. My wife does. She's like, oh. It didn't hurt her any, we don't think. I don't know. Not sure. But all I'm trying to say is we're just a little bit independent, huh? Aren't we? Just a little bit self-reliant. Just a little bit on the fact that, hey, I don't need anybody else or anything else but myself to succeed. Hey, isn't that what really is being taught to our kids? Yeah. Isn't that something that was presented to Eve back in the garden? Hey, ye shall be as gods. You'll know good and evil. You won't need him anymore because you'll be just like him. When Paul is getting down to the end of his letter, he's desiring for these Ephesians to be successful, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, listen, guys, be strong in the Lord. Not yourselves, church. Not what you can accomplish. Not your spiritual development, not what you've gained in Scripture, and not what you can accomplish, and not your reasoning, and not your knowledge, and not your abilities. Be strong in the Lord. Folks, I understand that this is a simple request. It maybe seems like bottom shelf to you, but listen to me. It is so often neglected and overlooked. Maybe because it is so simple. Just look back at the last year or 2 years. Did you rely on the Lord? Or did you rely on something else? Did you make it through on your own? Or were you strong in the Lord? Just look back. What things recently, what decisions, what things in life have you recently come to the conclusion of instead of being strong in the Lord? Paul very, very adequately states, finally, my brethren, if you're going to stand and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, be strong in the Lord. What does it mean to stand? It simply means to be on a foundation. I'm thankful for Brother Camp and his listening to the Holy Spirit or his wife, whichever one. About the same, right? Amen. We sang the song this morning, Standing on the Promises. What are we standing on? What's our foundation? Is it God? His promises? His truth? His strength? Or is it something else? You know, we sing these things that, like in verse 2, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Oh, these howling storms of doubt and fear assailed. By the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily, not with our flesh, with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Hey, folks, that's the definition of being strong in the Lord. It's not about us. It's about Him. In Exodus chapter 13, the children of Israel were reminded that it was God that brought them out of Egypt, not them. Who did they call upon for relief and for deliverance? God, right? And when Moses came, at the first, what did they do? They rejected it. They said, hey, no, you're causing us more trouble. Leave us alone. He said, no, I can't. I am hath sent me unto you. And I'm going to do this work. And it's going to be God's timing and God's way. And that's how it's going to be done. And they had to kind of wait through these 10 plagues. And they had to wait through the different decisions of Pharaoh. And some of it caused them some pain and some grief and some suffering. But in the end result, what was it? A great deliverance. By whose hand? God's. Was there any question that it was God's hand that delivered them and not man's hand? Any question? Not at all. Moses couldn't do those things on his own. Except God be with him. You think that a man standing at a bank of the sea, holding out his rod, can make the waters part? What's the science behind that? I want to see that experiment in the laboratory. Anybody with me? Come on, you science teachers. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's put this little stick out here and watch the waters go. That'd be wild, right? No. It was by his hand. Moses even said himself, the Lord is my strength and song. Folks, listen. It's God's strong hand that brought them out of Egypt. Moses was careful to remind them that, hey, this is not by my strength. This is not by Aaron's eloquence. This is not by the things that we've done, these signs and wonders and miracles. These are God's things. His strong hand, His strength has delivered you. And may I say to you, child of God, today, it is God's strength that sustains us day by day. Not your own. You say, oh, but I'm the one that has the ability to physically labor and bring home the bacon. And I'm for bringing home the bacon. Amen. Literally and figuratively. But listen to me. It's not you. And it's not your strength. It's His. It belongs to God. And we need to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in and of ourselves. In Deuteronomy 31, before Moses was departed here, he kind of gives some last words and he gives some encouragement to the people of God. And he says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. So why were they encouraged to be strong and of good courage? Because they were a great multitude of people? Because they were professional soldiers? Because they had the wherewithal to conquer lands and to defeat armies? Is that why they were supposed to be strong and of good courage? No. How did Moses quantify the strength? He said, because God's going with you. God's going with you, that's why you can be strong. God is with you, that's why you can have courage. God is with you, that's why you do not have to fear. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. There's our strength. It's in the Lord, folks. Who goes with you day by day? Who encourages you day by day? Who provides you the strength that you need day by day? It's God. God is the one that is our strength. We are not strong in and of ourselves. If we are, it will fail. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God Himself, speaking to Joshua after the death of Moses in Joshua chapter 1, He said, there shall not be not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Folks, that's God's promise to us. He says, hey, this is something that you need to do. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. Folks, if you're trusting in anything else, your trust is in vain. It's in vain. Be strong in the Lord. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. This is passed on from generation to generation. From Moses to Joshua to the people that overcame, to the kings, from David to Solomon. The Lord is my rock, David said, and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Are we not talking about the enemy? Are we not talking about the wiles of the devil, and that we may be able to stand against them? How are we going to do that without being strong in the Lord? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into an high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with thy strength, or with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. You know, over and over again, we see in Scripture that men in our frailty are weak. We're finite, and he is infinite. His strength is above all and above measure. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You guys remember this? Now, some scholars believe it was some sort of perhaps arthritis or maybe cataracts in his eyes and things like that. Well, whatever it was, it's not really known exactly what it was. But whatever it was something that bothered him physically. And something that was maybe even debilitating to some degree. You could imagine, through his testimony, being beaten with rods, right? Being whipped, being stoned to death. I love that phrase in Corinthians where it says, in deaths oft. Everybody misses that one. I believe the Apostle Paul physically died several times during his life. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. I don't care. I just know it's true. This man suffered severe physical persecution. That takes a toll on the body, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Miss Robbie, how do those broken bones feel after they've been broken? Not too good, right? They kind of ache and hurt a little bit, don't they? Yeah. It just, boy. And some of you that may be getting a little up there in age, like myself or Brother Ron, getting a little older, long in the tooth. We know Brother Buck and Brother Parks are pretty young guys. Things hurt, don't they? When that weather blows in, that barometric pressure, gets to ache in the joints. Folks, our bodies are weak. Paul said this, he said, that this messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Listen to this, folks. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know what Paul had decided? That God's strength is what he needed. That he was going to be strong in the Lord. Do you think he really believed that? I do. Because he wrote that very truth to those in Ephesus, from which we've read today. Oh, gee, he told something similar to Timothy, his son in the faith. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Solomon told us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So if we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, we've got to listen to the word of God and be strong in the Lord. Folks, today I hope that you have decided that your strength is not enough. Your strength is not. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil on your own. You need God's strength. Decide you're going to trust in it and not your own. The second thing he says, be strong in the Lord. And then in the word, there's a comma, in the word and. Now when we see this type of a conjunction, all you English people, I like to do this every once in a while just to kind of, to spurn English lovers. Because a math and science guy that believes in absolutes and not exceptions knows a little bit about this English thing. But when it says this, you take the subject, and it's a compound phrase, right? So we're supposed to be strong, and then we have this prepositional phrase, in the Lord, and so for sake of space, I guess, or for sake of sounding silly repeating yourself, you take the subject again, be strong in the power of his might. That's what the and is all about. So it's be strong in the Lord, and then be strong in the power of his might. You say, isn't that the same thing? Kind of. But not really. If you think about God and his strength, it's certainly magnificent. But think about the power of his might. Now, when you think of something and think of someone as being strong, and that strength, that stands for stability, does it not? Right? That stands for being able to, if you will, stand against the wiles of the devil, being able to have that foundation, to have that ability to remain upright and to overcome difficulties and to weather the storm, if you will. But when you talk about that as strength, it's kind of a static thing. It's kind of something that doesn't go anywhere, right? It's just strength is strength. But when you think of the power of his might, now we're talking about extending that strength, applying that strength to something that will break down strongholds. Hey, listen, folks. Are we supposed to just stand there and take a beating? That could be strength, right? And certainly so. But what about moving forward? What about progressing? Onward Christian soldiers, right? We're supposed to be going forward into battle. We're supposed to be knocking down those strongholds. And we're supposed to be pressing towards that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to be doing this, not again, through our own power and might, but through the power and might of God. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. So this thing of might and in the power of his might is the application of strength. It's the movement of strength. Being mighty and powerful is a display of the strength of God. Be strong in the Lord, and be strong in the power of his might. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. God's powerful, folks. And it's his mighty power that prevails. Did you notice here, as we read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a physical display of power and strength, folks. I mean, I might be able to knock out somebody. I might be able to physically defeat somebody. But what chance do I have against a spiritual being? Principalities and powers. Am I necessarily a spiritual creature? Not without Christ, I'm not. Because I have nothing. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have nothing of my own to offer in that realm, do I? Nor do you. But in the power of his might, I can stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't forget that there are principalities, powers and rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We need the power of the Almighty God displayed in our lives, if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, is this really something to be said? Yes. How many of you believe that Jesus is God? Yeah, amen. Hey, how many of you believe that Jesus is our example? I mean, I always like to ask people, did Jesus really need to get baptized to identify with himself? No. Why did he do it? For our example. So listen to this. Remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil, right? All those things that happened and took place. So I love what this says. And Jesus. Now we're talking about God the Son. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. I believe in a triune God. Three in one. One in three. And all those, you know, that's what they are. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Huh? How is that? I mean, why? Why is that a display for us, folks? So God's Son, God himself, returned in the power of himself? What for? It's an example. What are we supposed to be? In the power of the Spirit. We're not supposed to be under our own power and in our own power. It's supposed to be the power of God. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of His might. If Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, need to be in the power of the Spirit, how much more do we? How much more do we? Abundantly more, may I say. He told his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, in the beginning of Acts, he told them to go wait for the promise of the Father. He didn't say, hey, I'm going up into heaven. I want you to go back into Jerusalem and start this great revival and see 3,000 people saved and see 5,000 people saved and see multiplied multitudes be saved. And then I want to see you all be scattered out into Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You guys go do this. I've given you the talents and abilities to be able to make this happen. Go do it in your power, in your strength, and in your might. No, he didn't. He said, go back, wait for the Holy Spirit of God. Go wait for my power. Go wait for my might. So that you can accomplish this great task. So that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And what did they do? They did. And what happened? Amazing things. Miraculous things.
supernatural things. Oh, listen, folks, we can accomplish the ordinary in the flesh. But if we want to accomplish the extraordinary, it's got to be in the Spirit, in the power of His might. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem, around about until Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul recognized this. Just like he recognized he needed the strength of God in his life, he recognized he needed the power of His might in his life. He didn't just tell the Ephesians this. He lived it in his life day by day. Folks, we need to live it in our lives. Remember that in the Old Testament, how great men of God did great things? Oh, they did. But they were not fools. They understood it was not them, but it was God. In Zechariah, it says, and he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, these things are not accomplished through us. They're accomplished through His strength and His power in us. Now, if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil and be able to stand, we must be strong in the Lord. And we must be strong in the power of His might. And then lastly this morning, I just want to kind of give this as an introduction to next time. He ends that statement with a period. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Does God want to be strong in our lives? Yes. And He wants us, and He commands us to be strong in the Lord. Does He want to be powerful and mighty in our lives? Yes, He commands us to be strong in the power of His might. Does He want us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? And has He given us the whole armor of God? Has He given us the different things that we need? Has He given us truth? Has He given us the breastplate of righteousness? Has He given us the preparation of the gospel of peace? Has He given us the shield of faith? Has He given us the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit? Has He given us the gift of prayer and supplication? Has He given us the Holy Spirit of God? He has. Can I tell you something? They've been given. So then what is the command? Put them on. Put them on. Folks, that's up to us. Are we going to put on the whole armor of God? This may sound a little silly, but when you get up in the morning, at some point in time, you may be without clothing. It's your choice, right? What you put on and what you don't put on. Is that just, I mean, that's simple, right? So if you decide that today you're going to go without socks, you just won't have socks on, right? And you can do that, can't you? I mean, some days, Brother Jason's not in here. He's known for going shoeless, those of you that know him best. But you can do that. I mean, I remember when I was a kid out in farm country, North Dakota, I mean, I hardly wore a pair of shoes in the summertime. That's just how it was. But, you know, I can choose to walk outside without a shirt on. I mean, I can choose that, right? I mean, I'll be exposed, but I have that choice of what I put on and what I don't put on. I know that sounds silly. I know it sounds like a silly illustration or a thing to say. But a lot of times, Christians, we have been made available to all these things and we choose not to put on the whole armor of God. And we end up going out into the battle exposed. Is that not true? So that's why he says, if you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to get into this in much greater detail. But the simple fact remains, we've got to put it on. We've got to. It's available to you. It's yours to put on. But you need to execute these three things to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.